Well, welcome everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Dee Olson of Megalithic Marvels here to reconstruct the prehistoric past with you. So in this episode, I feature part two of a recent interview that I did with author and explorer Hugh Newman regarding the origins of the mysterious Olmec civilization, the artifacts they left behind, and the enigmas concerning their skull elongation. But before we get to the interview, I want to tell you about a very rare photo that we recently featured on our Instagram account of a relatively unknown location over in the Middle East of Iran at an ancient site called Persepolis. Persepolis means the city of the Persians. Declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1979, Persepolis was the capital of the Achaemenid Empire around 550 to 330 BC. Now, usually when you see photos of this site, you see these large columns, large pillars, and depictions of these winged lion hybrid type men, which are all awesome to see in their own right. Yet, there's something even more amazing to behold in these. So most people do not know that all of this appears, what I just described, to have been built on a much larger and much more ancient megalithic platform, which you really rarely see in photographs, surprisingly. And a friend of Megalithic Marvels on Instagram recently sent me this incredible photo of himself standing in front of one of the bases of this platform, this megalithic platform. It's literally monstrous. It's interlocking. You can see it's megalithic mortarless. And some of the stones weigh upwards of 70 tons each. Truly mind-blowing to see. So just search for Megalithic Marvels on Instagram, or you can click the link below in the show notes of this podcast to see this photograph. Well, let's get to part two of Olmec Origins with Hugh Newman now. Well, I am excited to be joined by author and researcher Hugh Newman. Today, Hugh has written several books, such as Stone Circles, Megalithic Studies in Stones, and Giants on Record, among others. Hugh, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yes, thanks for having me on, Dee. I appreciate it.
In your video series, and again, for our audience, you got to go to Megalithomania YouTube channel and check out Hugh's video series on the Olmec recently, but you feature so many great, Olmec artifacts from the Mexico City Museum of Anthropology. I want to ask you about a couple of them, but was there one that just fascinated you most in the Mexico City Museum there?
There's quite a lot there, to be honest with you. They've got a good selection there. It's quite impressive, actually. They've got, you know, like I said, they've got two Olmec heads. What one fascinated me the most? Monument 19 is probably the most fascinating Olmec artifact carving of them all, because it depicts what looks like a gentleman in profile holding one of those man bags with a serpent, a plume serpent, going around him. And he looks like he's in some kind of device, almost like the lid of Palenque, like Lord Pacal's tomb. So that is absolutely fascinating. And I think the original is on display in that museum. They have a copy at La Venta site and a copy at La Venta Villa Hermosa, the park there. But that is really interesting, and that has all sorts of symbolism. And it's the oldest depiction of a plumed serpent. And this was then became big, big kind of religious thing in Mayan, Toltec, Mixtec, Teotihuacan, and Aztec worlds after that. And so they may have been the first to kind of bring this tradition of the plumed serpent, or Quetzalcoatl, or Kukulcan, or different names given to him by different cultures. And that really became strong during Toltec times. So the fact that you got the original piece there with all this symbolism that was way before anything else is really, really interesting. It's also the quality of the stone carving is insane. It's like what you find in the peak of, you know, stone technology in Egypt. You're finding that here. This is why I think there's a connection, because you look at the style, quality of the stonework as well. But if you go to the National Anthropology Museum in Mexico City, you've got Olmec heads, you've got one of their graves, one of their tombs made of these basalt columns found from Levanta. You've got the Tuxtla statuette, which is like a jadeite piece, like this big, you know, it's like this big, and that was found not at a particular Olmec site, but it's got all these calendar carvings on it and so forth, with this sort of cleft lip and this sort of half man, half kind of animal. And there's also one called the Wrestler as well, which is almost like this Asian looking gentleman, kind of in a yoga pose, almost like he's started to wrestle, but he's got a moustache, a beard. And it's just one piece of stone, but it's carved beautifully. It's about 3 feet tall. And so there's a few amazing pieces that's worth checking out. But if people want to see a whole load of Olmec stuff in Europe at the moment, there's a big exhibition going on in Paris where many of these Olmec kind of pieces have been moved to. So Jalapa Museum and some pieces from the National Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City are over there at the moment. So some of them aren't there in Mexico. So it's worth noting that if you're going to be in Mexico, there's a few pieces that are missing.
Yeah, I was fascinated by several of these artifacts that you referenced in the museum. Yeah, the Wrestler that looks clearly Oriental. You've got, I think there was a guy named Almano, or an artifact named Almano, who's got this big elongated skull. And then there was all the little jade miniature figurines. It seemed to have really large elongated skulls. And then I think you called it column two. It was like a humanoid looking figure that had those bulbous features, you would say, with almost sunglasses he was wearing. Do you think there might, the skull elongation of the Olmec, could that have been more than just cradle headboarding? Could there be genetic markers in there, maybe like we see in Paracas, Peru, with some of those skulls?
It's possible. Yeah, that's one thing worth considering. I mean, the problem with this part of the world is the humid kind of climate here just destroys all the bones. And so there's very few skulls. Some have survived, but these are from later than the Olmec times. But there are some other skulls found further south that have obvious signs of cranial deformation, trepanning. And some like you find in Paracas, different parts of Peru, Bolivia, are oversized elongation. It's like they're much bigger and wider or longer than they should be if it was a normal skull being altered from birth. And so this has raised quite a few questions, and there's some very strange looking skulls which really have no explanation. We know the Star Child skull, I believe, was found in Mexico, and that's caused a huge sensation. There's a very similar one in Paracas in Peru. And so yeah, there is a whole ancient aliens element to this that a lot of people talk about, that the fact that the Olmec culture just emerged from nowhere, it just was fully fledged, fully advanced stone carving technology, just arrived, boom, they knew what they were doing, and they influenced all the cultures thereafter. They brought a very sophisticated calendar with them. There's proof now that they invented the long count calendar that supposedly ended on December the 21st, 2012. There's also evidence they invented the Zolkin sacred 260-day calendar, which represents the gestation cycle, but it's also the sacred calendar. And they kind of synchronize every 52 years, which is when they would rebuild pyramids, the whole fire ceremony and so forth. And so there's a lot of these things that got taken from the Olmec into the Mayan world, and they were obviously a big influence. But whether the skulls are naturally like that is just a big mystery. No one really knows. But there's so many depictions of this elongation that either they were all cradle boarding themselves or they just looked like that.
Is it true that no skeletons of the Olmec have been found that we know of?
Not officially. I mean, because of, you know, further south, yes. In actual Olmec land, very few bones have been found because of the climate, the humidity, the dampness just disintegrates the bones, unfortunately. So that is a pity, but they have found Olmec sites like Chalcatzingo, which is south of Mexico City. You've got Tlatilco in Mexico City, which has been destroyed now. You've got Zacatecla, that's also south of Mexico City, and Cuernavaca, the town city. And you've got Chimalacatlan and other sites, which appear, some of them have got bones and skeletons from, some of them are elongated skulls, but we don't know if they're original Olmec skulls and bones and skeletons. So there's a big question mark about that still.
It was very interesting in your, I think it was your last video you posted about the Olmecs in the Mexico City Museum of Anthropology. There was like two humanoid type looking skulls. I think you said they might have dated to 5000 BC. One almost looked Cro-Magnon like. Are those related in any way to Olmec, or do you think that's totally separate?
I'm not sure, because they, I think they were found near Puebla, which is, you know, was an Olmec area, but because of the dating, it officially they're earlier than the Olmec, but they're unusual because that type of skull, that type of feature, wasn't supposed to be in Mexico at that time. So they're an anomaly. But there are other skulls in the museum which are fully elongated. There are some that have got giant jaws, like we find with some of the giants that we've been researching. And these ones almost seem like they're anomalous. You know, who were these people? Were they kind of explorers or travelers from a different culture? Were they connected with Quetzalcoatl? Because the traditions say that he arrived potentially that long ago, because the official long count calendar, who the Olmecs worked with first, dates to 3114 BC. So that's 5,000 years ago, even though these could be older than that. And so, yeah, who they were, we don't know, but they're one of the anomalies. I mean, imagine what else is hidden down in, you know, the basements, and back rooms, museums. What we're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg.
One more question about the Olmecs. You've written and talked about in some of your presentations about, I think it's the Quinamensian giants of the Gulf Coast of Mexico. And there's even this old drawing of locals killing one. There's old newspaper reports, I believe, about, you know, 13 and 15 foot like giant skeletons being found in this area. Could that giant tribe be connected to the Olmecs in any way, or is that separate as well?
No, it could be. It could be that there is. I mean, some people even think the Quinamensian giants are the Olmecs. That is one of the. It's very confusing. Like, I've been looking into. Me and JJ have been looking into this, actually, looking into the five worlds of that the Aztecs and the Mayans talked about, and before them, and then going back to different worlds, there were different destructions, different types of destruction. One of the oldest worlds was where the Quinamensian giants, they built places like Teotihuacan, Cholula, and other sites, and they got destroyed by a flood. But other stories say, an interpretation suggests, they were actually destroyed and killed off by the Olmecs when they came in. And so we just started looking into this, and we're looking at different theories on this. So whether they were the same people, we don't know, but they might have been separate cultures battling each other. The Quinamensian are really interesting. The image you talk about is from Codex Vaticanus, and that shows a whole bunch of locals just basically killing a giant and tearing his guts out, things like this. It's pretty scary. But they go back to a really early era, this idea of the Quinamensian giants. Officially, you know, in tradition, they were the builders of Teotihuacan. They were the builders of Cholula, which then got taken over and became a Quetzalcoatl dedicated plumed serpent pyramid. They were even linked with Tlaloc. Tlaloc, the rain god, amongst other things, he became famous really later, you know, because of the Tlaloc statue, which was found in Lake Texcoco. Was an Aztec thing, even though it's dated earlier than the Aztecs. He was around at the time of Teotihuacan at least 2,000 years ago, because he's actually depicted there multiple times on the Pyramid of Quetzalcoatl, as well as other statues. And he was said to be the king or the leader of the Quinamensian giants. So he was a giant himself, clearly, and he's depicted as so. Interestingly, there are other statues found at Teotihuacan. There's one that was the consort of Tlaloc. It's either he or she, they're not sure. That was outside the moon pyramid at the very end of the site. And that's a Quinamensian giant as well. They're also called the Quinines or the Quinamensian, slightly different names to them. But these go back very far in tradition. And even Hernan Cortes, when he came over in 1519, he heard stories about the giants. He was even shown a giant bone, and he had one in his possession, which was supposedly sent back to Spain. But what happened to that, we don't know. Then we have all these news accounts of giants all across Mexico, up to 15 feet tall, giant bones, skulls, teeth, other such things. All along Baja California, you get it. Get it up in the Sonora Desert. We wrote about the Sonora story with Paxson Hayes and from the Smithsonian in our book Giants on Record. And we're now, I'm working on further writing projects. One of them is going to be focused on Mexico, Olmecs, but I'm looking at the giants of Mexico as a kind of focus. So there's a lot going on with that here. And all the early traditions talk about this very strongly. All the Spanish conquistadors, they heard about it when they came over because the Aztecs were telling them all these old stories of these giants. And so there's definitely something in that. It goes down into Guatemala. I've been shown photos from Honduras of a giant skeleton that may have been found at Copan. So even into Mayan times and Aztec times, some of these giants still existed.
Well, this has been a fascinating interview, Hugh. Thanks so much for your time today. And for those listening or watching, make sure and follow Hugh. He's on Instagram at HughNewman1, I believe. We just posted a couple of his photos from Mexico. Follow the Megalithomania Facebook group. Great group to jump in and see all of his videos. And then what's the Megalithomania website, Hugh?
Just megalithomania.co.uk.
.co.uk. That's got links to his books. And I'm really excited about, sounds like, your upcoming book. So, man, thanks again for your time. Keep up the great work. And we'll do this again, hopefully, in the future.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dee. Appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Hugh. Please subscribe to this podcast from wherever you are listening. And if it was on iTunes, please give us a good rating, which helps others to find this podcast easier through all the algorithms. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is linked in the show notes, where you can actually watch the video version of this interview I did with Hugh. Hey, thanks guys. Until next time, keep exploring.